Moncrief on News Talk.
There are platforms such as Kalshi where you can literally bet on anything, but there has been some concern that US government insiders have been anonymously betting at such places on political developments. It's come to light, for instance, that one individual made $100,000 betting on words Donald Trump would use in speeches. That individual operated Donald Trump's teleprompter. Scott Lucas is professor in US politics at the UCD Clinton Institute. Good afternoon, Scott.
Very good afternoon to you.
Is this an embarrassment to an unembarrassable administration?
To be honest with you, not really. I mean, given so much we could talk about, this one I think will be here today, and I'm glad we're talking about it. Be gone maybe the day after tomorrow. Yeah, you're right. This is a fellow who operated the teleprompter since 2016. So he'd been with the Trump administration for both terms, a man named Gabriel Perez. And what happened is that he was betting on the betting markets, what are called prediction markets, but really betting markets. And he made up to almost $100,000, because what would happen is he knew what would be in the speeches, of course, because he has to put on the teleprompter. So he would bet on what words would appear on the speeches. It got to the point where, because Trump can ad lib at times, right? And so when Trump would ad lib and go off script, and Perez would know, oh, this word isn't going to come up in the speech, he would immediately withdraw his bet mid-speech, right? You know, nice work if you can get away with it, but he couldn't in the end, because the market site eventually caught on to what was happening and reported it to him. And technically, he's on administrative leave, but I suspect we've seen the back of his teleprompter days with Donald Trump.
Yeah. No, but why? Given, you know, and could one argue that he's just a result of the ethos within that administration anyway, where the Trumps themselves are personally profiting from the fact that Daddy's president?
Yeah. I mean, look, we could have it take up your entire program, right? But just to give you an example of alleged, and I must emphasize that word alleged, your lawyers will understand, alleged what we would call insider trading, which effectively is betting on the stock market. When Trump had announced his tariffs, you know, and did the hokey-cokey tariffs in, tariffs out, kept changing the levels, before he'd make an announcement, there would be unpredictable activity, spikes in activity on stocks. And he at one point even bragged on a day when he withdrew some of the tariffs. He said, well, so-and-so here made half a billion today, 500 million. So-and-so made 800 million. So-and-so made 1 billion on the stock market. Now, whether or not these guys had inside information or not, you have to wonder about it. And then I could talk to you about the cryptocurrency. I'll call them schemes. I won't use rude words for them. Where Trump personally, you know, in defiance of all regulations, and in fact, in defiance of the Constitution, made $1.4 billion last year, effectively betting on crypto.
Yes, but what this chap has done, the betting on what words Trump may or may not use, is there any actual regulation against that?
There's not, as it were, a law against it. So there's not like criminal activity here. What is happening is that some of the market providers are starting to regulate themselves a bit. So they're now requiring employment details. So if you go on there and say, I operate the White House teleprompter, they might figure out that you shouldn't be picking, you know, predicting the outcomes of speeches. But beyond the market providers, in effect, being expected to do a bit of regulation, now there's really no regulation of this. And just to give you an example, which I think rings true to sports fans out there, when I was a boy growing up and so on, you know, it's an absolute no-no for sporting figures to go to the bookies and bet on the outcomes of their games. Well, here we are, what, 50 years later, and because these markets are so much more pervasive and they operate much more quickly because of the speed of the internet, there's almost no attempt to provide the type of regulation that you would need to be able to deal with this type of insider manipulation.
Yeah. So would it be fair to say that there would be virtually no pressure on the Trump administration to clean up this sort of thing, and the only regulation, from what you were saying, is from these companies themselves?
You know, you're not going to see the Trump folks regulate it. And in fact, the wider story, which again we can discuss some other time, is that the Trump administration, especially in term two, has weakened general market regulators. So, for example, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which would oversee, for example, no insider trading, make sure you play by the rules, that has been weakened. They've weakened the Federal Trade Commission in terms of its enforcement powers. We're a little bit getting towards the wild, wild west in terms of the way that the U.S. markets and economy work. But of course, if you're on the inside and you're making money with your six shooter on that wild, wild west, well, more power to you.
Yeah. And is there a relationship between what's happening in the wild, wild west and what's happening on the street for ordinary Americans? Is one affecting the other?
Well, what's happening is that you've got a gambler's economy in some respect, in that the stock market still has tended to go up despite all the economic instability, which goes back a decade. But even as the stock market goes up, and even as some people are becoming quite wealthy, because remember, we've also got tax cuts that have been a feature of the Trump years. Most Americans are suffering from higher inflation now and the weakest job market since 2009. And so I think, it's good that we discuss this issue, but come November's elections, it'll be more that everyday thing of the slowdown in the economy and that creeping inflation fed by the war in Iran that I think will determine Trump's future.
Yeah. And as far as the markets are concerned, are the markets starting to think perhaps that Trump isn't as unpredictable as we first thought, particularly in the sense of taco? They'll always bet that way, and that usually turns out to be the case.
They know he's unpredictable, but they priced it in, right? Mm-hmm. So, when you've seen the same thing happen 3, 4, 5, 6 times, then you sort of hedge on that. And so, yeah, absolutely. You didn't have, with Trump's tariffs, you haven't had the wild swings on the market in reaction to them that we first got back in April of 2025. And on a much different issue, on the war of Iran, we're not getting the wide swings right now on the price of oil, because people are sort of pricing in the fact that we're in this neither war nor negotiation. We're in this limbo and everybody's sort of adjusting to it.
Yeah. Ordinary Americans, are they particularly aware, or would it be even in their top five issues that there's a war going on with Iran?
Oh, yeah, they'll know it because of the economy. Now, the wider issues, you'll hear quite often references to 401ks, effectively, investment portfolios. And people are aware of those, but they're especially aware of gasoline prices. That's always the number one issue when I was growing up. What's the price at the pump? And indeed, one reason why the Trump folks got back in 2024 is they hammered away at this, that gas prices had gone up during the Biden years. Well, gas prices have, again, they were under $3 per gallon when the war started. They've now broken the $4 per gallon mark again. They had dropped a bit, but they're starting to go on the way back up. And because America is such a car country, and you see a petrol station every few hundred yards, that's the kind of thing that folks will notice come November.
Yeah. And come November, what's your sense is that's going to happen? You'd think the Democrats would be poised to take full advantage of this, but that always doesn't seem to be the case with them.
If I knew that, I'd be on Kalshi right now placing a bet. But I think the best thing to say is if this was a straight-up election, I think the Democrats would be well-positioned to take at least one of the two houses of Congress, a chance of getting the second. But of course, what the Trumpists are trying to do is to sort of manipulate the elections a bit with what we call redistricting, changing the congressional boundaries. And also, as was evidenced in a speech last week, to try to use the false claims of electoral fraud to restrict the numbers of people turning out.
Yeah. Yeah. And might there be some further action on foot of that speech? Because it almost sounded like, they're going to try and steal this one as well. And he may or may not do something about that.
I think there may be measures against mail-in balloting before November and to try to limit that. But I think the real risk that I see is that in 2020, the Trump folks considered seizing voting machines after that election. And of course, if you seize voting machines, you can flip the numbers on them. I would be very wary of the Trump administration, if it does not go well for them and the Republicans, trying to seize voting machines after the election this year.
My word. Scott, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Scott Lucas there, professor in US politics at the UCD Clinton Institute.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.